A Christian American writer by the name of Greg Laurie states the following. He indicates that all Christian churches should be well, healthy, vibrant, and active in their service for Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Well, healthy, vibrant, and active. We've been reading here this morning in Acts chapter 2 of the early church. We see an evidence there of a church that is healthy and well, seeking to advance Christ's kingdom, endeavoring to be faithful to our Lord and Master, and rightly so. God willing, in 2 weeks' time, the Northern Presbytery will be coming to Kilrats by way of visitation. That normally occurs once every 10 years. I have been here in a previous visitation. I do find it very hard to believe that 10 years have passed since that occasion. The Northern Presbytery in coming be coming to encourage the congregation of Kilrats. As you appreciate from the code, certain questions will be put to the congregation, also to the representatives of the congregation, and those representatives will answer those questions faithfully and truthfully before the presbytery. The presbytery is not coming to find fault. The presbytery is not coming to be critical. But the presbytery is coming to encourage the congregation here in Kilrats, to commend you, and where a word of correction is required, that ought to be given. And so, God willing, by the announcements I see this morning, this day week, Reverend Simon McCollum of Portrush will be here to make preparations for that occasion of visitation, coming to ensure all is well in your congregation, help you along the way. And in our reading here from Acts chapter 2 this morning, we see here a situation where all appears to be well. A congregation which is growing, a congregation which is godly, seeking to advance Christ's kingdom at every opportunity. And after all, friends, that we're all seeking after, and we all long for our various situations in life, various congregations, to see our congregations growing and developing spiritually with a great concern for Christ's honour and for His glory. Very often in my own life, in addressing individuals, I did so this morning already, I would say to people on occasions, are you well? Are you well? Probably do the same to you. Making it to the town, Ballymoney or Corrie or wherever I go to. Even here in Kilrats this morning, already I've said to some of you, are you well? Are you well? It's a general inquiry. How are you physically? How are you doing? All well for you and for your family. I was just thinking of that word, well, are you well? I feel you should take that word, well, this morning, and by means of an acrostic, we'll learn from that word certain vital lessons to ensure a congregation is healthy and well. So those of you who are taking notes this morning, by means of an acrostic, we see here, well, W-E-L-L. The first word stands for worship. W for worship. A healthy, well, Christ-honoring congregation is always a true, honoring, worshipping body of being people. Worship must always be the primary concern of the congregation. we are found gathered here this morning endeavoring to the best of our abilities to truly worship the Lord our God, to acknowledge him, take his name upon our lips, to be found praising him and recognizing him every step of the way. Acts chapter 2 here, verse 46 tells us that this is the very thing which the early Christians were doing. They're setting for us here this morning a pattern. Acts 2 and verse 46 tells us there, the early Christians continued daily in worship. Worshipping in the temple on numbered homes. Our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to us that our worship must always be done sincerely and earnestly. There is no room for a casual worship or a careless worship. But in our worship, in assembly, even this morning or this evening in worship, we come with thoughtfulness, with reverence, acknowledging we come to the presence of Almighty God himself. Throughout the scriptures, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the anger of the Lord is clearly revealed when people are casual, unfaithful, or untrue in their worship. We see that so clearly in scripture. Take, for example, the Old Testament. We see there how the children of Israel, on many occasions, began to worship false gods, created idols of their own creation. God was not pleased. God was angry. God brought destruction upon all such. No, our worship must be genuine and true before our God. And friends, more than that, must always remember every time we come through those doors into this building each Lord's Day, we're not just coming here to see one another, we're not just coming to see who's here and who's not here, but we are coming here to acknowledge Almighty God. Because even as I address you this morning, you and I are in God's presence. We're in God's presence. The Christians we meet in the book of Acts were not content to be only once a week for an hour for a service. Sometimes, you know, friends, with the best will in the world, we can all foolishly become very casual in our worship, very lackadaisical in our worship. We think to ourselves, an hour does us, and that's over for another week. That was not the case here in Acts chapter 2. Rather, we see in this chapter that these early believers met daily for worship. They entered sincerely and earnestly into worship. In their worship, they met for prayer. In their worship, they examined the scriptures. Their desire to grow in grace and spirituality. What I'm trying to say this morning to you, friends, this morning is simply this: these early believers were not playing at church. They're not playing at church. They're not merely going through the motions of being at church. They were coming with a genuine concern, desire, and longing to get to the Lord more fully in their lives. And this is because Jesus Christ was living reality to them in their lives. They had experienced Christ for themselves. Their desire was to glorify their Saviour. This early Christian fellowship expressed itself not only through caring for each other, but also in corporate worship. we're told here they met both formally and informally. They met formally in their temple, where together they met for praise, prayer, and meditation upon God's word as they looked to their Father in heaven. They met informally in their homes, sharing in fellowship, sharing meals together, sharing around the good things of God's word. Friends, we see here in this pattern a body of individuals, a body of Christian individuals who meant business in their worship. It was not something casual and indifferent to them. Their desire was to worship God sincerely. They did so with that genuine concern to honour their Lord and to please him. Likewise for ourselves. In our assembling, for example, in Kilnarat's building this morning for worship, our concern must always be the honour and glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Our desire is to be afresh with our Lord, to commune with him, through his presence, built up in our faith, and to be strengthened for his name's sake. For ourselves at all times, whether formally or informally, either the Lord is uplifted, think of God should be adhered to, and that should bring great joy to our hearts. You know, sometimes in this regard, we can be very slack and remiss. Yes, we come to church regularly. Yes, you do. But sometimes we can find ourselves rushing in at the last minute, rushing down the road at breakneck speed. That's not conducive for worship. That's not helpful in worship. When we're rushing, we're at the last minute, then our minds are preoccupied with other things. Preoccupied with the driving. Preoccupied with safety in the road. Or then again, preoccupied with the affairs of the past few days. Or the business of the coming week. In worship, friends, we must be fine preparing ourselves for this great exercise. Sometimes you know the impression is given come to a worship service, the only person needs to prepare is the minister. Oh, the congregation says, well, that's his job. But he spends his week, he prepares the sermon all week. That's true. But in order for the congregation to receive blessing through the ministry of the word of the minister, as a congregation, you too have your part to play as you prepare yourselves for assembling together with God's people, both morning and evening, doing so prayerfully, asking God to speak to the preached word, asking God also to give you a content spirit and heart as you listen to God's word being declared. It is true to say that if you come unprepared for worship, then very often you will leave that building disappointed. You may even say to yourself, I got nothing in that sermon today. No blessing today. Well, that may very well be the case if you, for your part, also made your own preparation for that day's worship. Yes, the minister prepares, most certainly that's his task, but the congregation must also make preparation. So we see here a congregation next to the apostles where all was well. People hungering and thirsting for the word of God. People keen to learn what God would say to them through his word. My second word is the word evangelize. Evangelize. A healthy church is an evangelizing church. A church is seeking to reach out to a lost community. You see, friends, again, Acts chapter 2, in the overall context of this chapter, we see Peter, this great evangelist, preaching fervently and passionately on the day of Pentecost. Peter, with great sincerity, declared the whole counsel of God. Peter is here concerned that his hearers should come to the Saviour and trust him with all their hearts. And so he makes it clear to them the way of salvation, what they had to do, what was required of them. That's why we read later on, that same chapter, of how there's repentance. Many were repenting of their sins and turning to their Lord in dependence. Peter was an evangelist. A man who was concerned to make Christ Jesus known to others. Can I suggest to the congregation this morning, that word evangelist should also describe you and me. We in our own ways should also be evangelists. As we endeavour to encourage others in a Christward direction. May I say to you this morning, this is not an optional extra. Far from it. It is an obligation laid upon every Christian believer. For us as Christians, we are called upon to take every opportunity, to make our Saviour known to others. It does not mean standing on a platform. It does not mean standing in a pulpit. It does not mean standing in a street corner to do that. What it does mean is this. In your own quiet way, passing the time of day with a neighbour, and a word of comfort for someone you know, and serving another through the life you live, showing forth clearly your love for the Saviour and your concern for their souls. It does not mean this morning, you're always preaching at people, always preaching at them. That's not what I'm saying this morning. No, preaching is important, of course. Not always preaching at them. But what it does mean is this. You, in your own quiet, Christ-honouring way, in your place of employment, in your business, in the shop, in the office, can speak a word for the Lord. In that sense, you are evangelizing, declaring the beauty of Christ to others. Recently in my reading, I came across an interesting definition of what evangelism is. And this is worthy of taking note just now, so I'll give a brief definition for you this morning of what evangelism is. I'll read it for you later on. Evangelism is one hungry, blind beggar telling another hungry, blind beggar where to find food. I repeat that. Evangelism is one hungry, blind beggar telling another hungry, blind beggar where to find bread, where to find food. And is that in a nutshell? To start off, prior to our own coming to know the Lord for ourselves, we were that blind, hungry beggar. Knew nothing in the way of salvation. But then our eyes were opened. We were enlightened. We came to the truth. And because we came to the truth then, we in turn had a desire to make that truth known to other blind, hungry beggars. Those who were left of gospel truth God's understanding. And what are we doing? We're talking to people about Christ, declaring the whole counsel of God to them, pointing them to the Savior, Jesus Christ. What are we doing? We're pointing them to the one who is the bread of life, the one who will satisfy our souls, applying to spiritual food in and through faith in Christ. As church members, we are called upon through the work of the Sabbath School, Holy Bible Club, young people's meetings, various forms of outreach in the community. We're all called upon to be evangelists in our own way. We seek to make known Christ to others. Can I also say, these days, we can advance this in another sense too. Here's a practical word to the congregation this morning. Over a prolonged period of time, back and forth, preaching in Clarats, I always observe when it comes to the matter of Holy Bible Club, for example. Great efforts are made to reach out to the boys and girls in our district. There's always a sign up and all this, and that's good. That's good. But if you yourself are not involved actively in that Holy Bible Club, what you could do is this. If the Holy Bible Club begins at all, go forward and speak to the leaders of the Holy Bible Club. Go forward and speak to them and say, I'm able to help you, but I'll be praying for you. When your meetings are over, go forward to Jesus and say to them, well, how'd things go? What sort of numbers had you? The boys and girls you interested, was there a concern? Interested in what they were told? In doing that, in an indirect way, you're being an evangelist by way of encouragement to those who are taking the burden of leadership in this regard. The same holds true for the Sabbath School. The CY. And you know, meetings in the church, as you seek to encourage and to help. So you see this morning, friends, as a church member here, you cannot and should not be in the back seat. You should not be saying to yourself, well, I don't involve myself in those things. Don't say that. That's a shame to say that. You can involve yourself even in simple things by way of encouragement. Because I know from past experience of being here, especially in prayer meetings here in the past, that those who are leaders in the fellowship here are oftentimes praying for more helpers, for great interest to be found in membership in Kilnats in this area of service. There are so many things we can do for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. And friends, all will be well. All will be well in Kilnats when every person puts their shoulder to the wheel and moves forward, serving the Lord faithfully and doing whatever they can. It may be a very small task. It may be a small task. But whatever it is, that's part and parcel of serving the Lord and of being true to Him. We can spread God's word by giving someone a gospel tract. We can share God's word by inviting someone to our church services. I know, friends, I know you've had 3 days of services just recently. I'm glad you had that. We had the same last week and this week too in Kalibaki. But we're to judge those efforts by our numbers. Certainly in Kalibaki, our attendance in the village was very poor, if not practically nil. Hardly anybody came from that large village the service last Wednesday evening. So what do? Do we shut up shop? Do we close the door and say, we don't do that again? That's no use. Of course not. Christ has commanded us to be evangelists, to be sharing the gospel. So we keep on doing the same time after time after time, certainly all in prayer, asking and trusting God to work the advancement of His kingdom. W-E-L. L stands for learn. Learn. A healthy church is a learning church. We must be found continuing learning sound doctrine, standing by the Scriptures and the authority of the Scriptures. Friends, in light of recent developments in your own province here concerning an denial of the authority of Scripture, we who are members of the Reformed Presbyterian Church to be very pleased this morning that we stand by the Scriptures. We do not say this morning, well, you couldn't believe that, or God didn't believe that, or most certainly God wouldn't have said that. Once any person goes down that road, they're in a sinking sand, leading to destruction. No, as members of the church here in Kalatz, as members of the Reformed Presbyterian Church at large, we stand four square on the authority of the Scriptures. God's word is truth. God's word must always be true. God's word must always be accepted. We stand upon that authority. And so we're told here in verse 42 that these early believers learned from the apostles' doctrine. That is, from the Scriptures, from men like Peter and Paul and others who proclaimed the untouchable riches of Christ Jesus as Lord and Master. They looked to the Bible for their learning, their instruction, and their understanding. We must also be endeavouring to learn from God's Word at every opportunity. Learning from God's Word, learning how best we can serve our Lord and be faithful and true to Him. Something very interesting I find here in Acts chapter 2 is this in verse 41. We're told then in verse 41 that these early Christians gladly received the word. Gladly received the word. That simply means these early believers were very happy to hear God's word, to accept it into their hearts, and to live out that word in their lives. They gladly received the word of the living God. We can have no room this morning for those who are not glad to hear God's word been propounded, expounded, or declared. They gladly received the word. Verse 42 goes on to tell us, and they continued steadfastly. They continued on, maintaining the faith, remaining true to their Lord and to their Master. We could say here that the Holy Spirit that day opened a school in Jerusalem. His teachers were the apostles, whom Jesus had appointed. There were 3,000 students in that school, new converts, and all were keen to learn as much as they could concerning the things of God. A real hunger, a real thirst, a real longing for God and for His Word. And friends, as we then come to the picture here today, as we come to the picture, likewise, you and I must also be found as keen students learning from God's Word at every opportunity. Having a desire to read God's Word daily in our homes. Do you take time each day of your life to your Bible? Now, I know that for us all, life is busy. Anyway, especially for the farming community, as a farming congregation, it's not easy. I know my father's a farmer, it wasn't always easy to take time for the Bible. But if you haven't got time for the Bible in the morning, there's always some stage of the day when a few minutes can be taken, 10 minutes can be taken to read God's Word. And I would say to you in the authority of God's Word this morning, that if you're too busy to read God's Word at some stage in the day, then you are too busy. above all, you cannot forsake the Bible study here in the congregation, the prayer meeting, the congregation, because in attending those means of grace, you have been strengthened. You're learning more about God the Lord. You're learning more what God means to you in your life. But then this whole area, one final thing I would say to you concerning learning. I say very especially to parents here this morning, and boys and girls are still in your home. You should be making sure that in your home, day by day, you keep family worship. Keep devotions with your boys and girls, your sons and your daughters. I'll tell you, friends, there's a time for doing that. That time is when those children are still young, amenable to the truth, keen to learn, keen to understand the things of God. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss your opportunity of taking time each day, regardless how busy you are, regardless. Take time to gather the children around you. Read them the scriptures. Encourage them. Talk to them. And point them in a Christward direction. I go further and I say this morning, as parents, if you miss that opportunity, then sad to say into the future, you may very well live to regret it. Take time for your family. They are the most important congregation you'll ever have. Worship, evangelize, learn. My fourth and final word, and just a word, is the word love. Love. A healthy church is a loving church. A loving church. Acts chapter 2 makes it obvious to us here there's a great deal of love and compassion to be found in membership. Verses 45 and 46 of our chapter shows to us how these believers were so full of love, they wanted to sell their possessions in order to help those who are less fortunate than themselves. They had a loving, caring concern the one for the other. Wasn't it said at the early church, behold how these Christians love one another. Behold how these Christians love one another. And this is so essential today. In our congregation here in Clonats, love must always be evident, clearly to be seen. As you show forth love to our fellow members, perhaps a member is passing through a time of illness, or a time of bereavement, or a time of unemployment, whatever it might be. Is your love in your heart, is your compassion in your heart such that you're willing to go forward and say to them, I'm thinking of you. You're passing through hard times, but I love you in your situation. I'm praying for you. I trust all works out well for you. That's our responsibility as members of the congregation. Showing forth a great love one for another. And of course, there are other more practical things which you can do, which you will know for yourselves, which you can do of more practical nature. But all these things must be couched in true Christian love, the one for the other. So then, friends, we come to the end of this address. The president will be visiting shortly with you. The president is coming to encourage you. Next week, every time we call, we'll be here to appoint representatives to answer questions for the congregation. I believe those answers will be given faithfully and sincerely and truly. But at the end of the day, regardless of the questions, we will simply ask ourselves the question, is all well? Is all well in Kilnats? And are we all as church members endeavouring before God to be faithful, true ambassadors for his name's sake? May God grant that should be the case in this congregation.